Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Eric the Tech is having a great time right now. I can tell you that, folks. Welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today. It's, in case you're wondering, in case you have to look at the computer for the date, it's Wednesday, March 25th, 2020. 2020. What a year this has turned out to be. You recall the first show of 2020, perhaps. Maybe you don't. I don't. But I can tell you this. We were in a whole different position on that day than we are right now. If you want to know what the encroachment of tyranny looks like, well, open the window or just open the shades. Look out the window. You know, I've had the opportunity to speak with a number of other talk show hosts. You know who they are. Off air. And, you know, just, hey, you know, what do you think is taking place? I would direct you to InfoWars yesterday. I think Alex Jones did a fantastic job of outlining the deep state tactics. And if you're not a fan of Alex Jones, it doesn't matter. You know, focus on the message, not the messenger. The message has been 100% accurate from Alex, in my view, with respect to this particular virus. Now, there's a certain evolution that we all go through when we look at something as huge as this. You know, I spent some time today talking with a couple of detectives, two different conversations, two different detectives. And I was reminded about something, and I want to bring something up. I want to show a minute 40 second video. Many people know me, 35 years now. Well, 35, I guess. Yeah, 35 years being a multi-state licensed investigator in the private sector, working with Fortune 500, 100 companies and dealing with district attorneys, federal prosecutors and such, dealing with them a lot. And by the way, you know, before I see this in a transcript, you know, from my attorney, I was never a federal prosecutor. That was a typo or a misrepresentation. InfoWars put it up and obviously corrected it. So, you know, stop it. All right. So I was talking to a couple of detectives, and they both had and they're both awake. They both know what's going on, kind of like Eric the Tech, very quiet, very stealth, you know. Right, Kevin? There's a backstory there. But.
Kevin's killing me.
Did you hear that, Kevin? You're killing him. I told him.
I see you, Kevin.
It's an inside joke, folks. Look, we have to draw humor where we can, don't we, these days? But I'll tell you this: there are things that we are not seeing, and that is any police officer, any detective, any person in the military. Let me speak to you right now. If you've ever been in the position, and I'm sure you have, where you're walking into, I don't know, you don't know what you're walking into, but those little hairs on the back of your neck stand up and you think, I've felt this before, and what's coming next is not going to be good. That's where we're at today. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And I want to thank everyone. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to the people who have sent, me, emails at studio, sent emails to studio@hagmanreport.com with their thoughts on what's going on. So many of you are so, to me, brilliant people. Thank you. Thank you. One lady in particular. ED, how's that? She said, I don't want acknowledgement, but I'll just call her Elizabeth. How's that? I'll just call her Elizabeth. What a great mind. Putting dots together, connecting dots. And I would suggest that most of you are better at doing that than people who are paid to do it. So I spent a long time after last night's show, in fact, early into this morning and then throughout the day, looking at all sorts of information, evaluating this information, searching, digging down, making phone calls, including some locally here, because here, where we're at, you can see I'm not in the studio. I'm in my office. Eric is in his office. We're practicing social distancing, except when we spoon. Oh, stop it. You know what I mean. I'm kidding, of course. Somebody's going to make a cartoon out of that now. And you know who you are. But those don't bother me. Actually, I think they're kind of funny. Eric, however, has a different idea about that. But I'm going to play something for you. I'm going to play something for you because this all ties together. And I think this will set kind of the groundwork for what I'm going to say. More accurately, Eric's going to play something for you. Think back to 1995. Were you born yet? Were you consciously aware yet? If you weren't, you know. But if you were, remember the O.J. Simpson trial? You talk about a complex crime scene, okay, plus a contaminated complex crime scene. But that's not the issue. The issue is this. There was a forensic scientist who became a major household name during that time. And I happened to have taken classes from him. His name is Dr. Henry Lee. And he taught some of the most intense blood spatter. Not splatter. Don't use splat. No L, okay? That's really a pet peeve of mine. I could tell when somebody's talking about blood spatter. And, you know, they're an expert in that. And they use splatter. No. It's spatter. Just put that in your file of useless knowledge. But anyway, having said that, Dr. Henry Lee, during the 95 O.J. Simpson trial, testified for quite a while. He even, if you go back and watch the YouTube, the videos on YouTube, he even recreated some of his classroom demonstrations using blood, a dropper, and a piece of paper, and showed how blood spatter impacted surfaces, different angles. Very interesting. If you're into the forensic science, if you were like watching CSI and all that, really interesting. And Dr. Lee, I got to tell you, intense guy, nice guy, intense guy. A little hard on the language sometimes, but it's what it is. But I ask you this. Listen to this minute 40 clip. There's a specific sentiment. There's a specific area of, you got to pay attention to this. Something very specific he says that reflects, in my view, where we are at today with COVID-19. Oh, wait, it's not COVID-19. It is the Communist Chinese Party virus, or if you prefer, the Communist Chinese Wuhan virus. But let's not forget its origins. because the origins have to do with the exploitations because, well, we are at war. Well, we're at war. In case you did not get the memo, folks, we're at war. But for now, in the interest of time, by the way, Dr. Richard Proctor coming up, Provost Institute, talking about the Constitution and why, I mean, now it matters more than ever. That'll be at the bottom of the hour. But let's watch Dr. Henry Lee in this very, very, very tiny moment in time, this snapshot during the O.J. Simpson trial. Let's watch.
Is that right? But here, again, 10, 9, 8, 7 and 8, this area, something. Now, in your notes, did you document any imprints being 10 down and 3 over?
I don't have this photograph. That's the first day.
I don't recall. Some people may discuss with me. However, I did not read it firsthand.
So, on our scale, that would be approximately 3 feet 10 inches, something in that.
Do you agree with the concept that we can only interpret the bloodstains that are physically present and that no one should speculate as to why a defendant was not bloodstained, except in the most unusual cases? These are my notes.
Again, generally, we only can interpret a certain pattern which we can see. If you did not see it, not necessarily wasn't there. You cannot interpret something you did not see. Then you say, not there.
Okay, stop it. There it is. There it is. Now, again, Dr. Lee, having sat and gone through your blood spatter courses, your forensic courses, I got to tell you, a little rough on the language there. But what he said there, you cannot interpret something that you can't see. The step further is, just because you didn't see it doesn't mean it wasn't there. To state it differently and even perhaps more, with more popularity, the phrase, absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. Okay? I've used that many times. Again, 35 years doing investigative work, approaching this situation where we are today as an investigator, conducting interviews, talking with people, looking at the different statistics looking at how agencies, government and otherwise, interpret the statistics. There are hundreds, I believe, of YouTube videos out there or videos, that show statistics. These statistics often are different. And if they're not different, they're interpreted differently. Now, having said all of this, what in the heck does this have to do with anything? Well, all right. Taking a step back and watching the methodical nature of the implementation of tyranny in this country right now, in my county, in my city, in my location, And this is personal to me for a whole boatload of reasons. Because when Steve and I, for example, and I'm going to make this personal and about me for a second, and about Steve for a second, when we're in a lawsuit and papers say, well, you're not under martial law yet, are you? Well, gee whiz, how friggin' fast do things change? And by the way, didn't we warn you about this? Yeah, I'm a little bit chapped about this. Oh, hey, you're not under martial law yet, are you? See? You fear doom porn merchandising. Well, look out your window. pick up a newspaper, tune into the TV. I guess I can answer that question differently now, can't I? But see, I'm not the issue here. Steve's not the issue. The issue is we are seeing martial law being implemented here in the United States over this coronavirus, as it's commonly referenced, this COVID-19, as it's commonly referenced. And I would like, again, remind everyone, this is the Communist Chinese Party virus out of Wuhan. But now we see Democratic Los Angeles Mayor Garcetti, speaking of OJ, to shut off water and power for non-essential businesses that refuse to close. You see, the intent here, regardless of, and I will say this one more time, is the virus, the Chinese Communist Party virus, is that a real problem? Yes, it's a real thing. Am I minimizing this? No, not in the very least. You know, the problem and the solution and the exploitation of the process, they can all be related. All right. So whether the problem is a hyped up problem or a genuine problem really does not make too much of a difference in terms of the end result on how people are handling this. Again, that's not to minimize whatsoever the threat, the lethality, the case fatality rate, which is yet to be really determined by this virus. And I could think of no better way, and how about you? And this comes from the listeners, the viewers, the people who have sent me emails, who have said, hey, Doug, look at this. I've had but my wife's had a clear the phone messages, I think 2-3 times, because it just filled up. The inbox just filled up with all of these data points, which, by the way, we've got on a conference table all laid out and looking at various things and doing the research and seeing things that, yes, this is a problem. Yes, this is a real thing, but this could not have been crafted any better, because it would be a whole world easier to combat, to fight, to take a baseball bat or a tire iron, or better yet, an AR-15 or an AK-47 or a 45, well, you name it, and to fight a visible enemy than this. I mean, how great is this in terms of the enemy? This is a pathogen, a virus, something that is, you can't fight with a baseball bat. Well, you can. The host is going to suffer. But do you see what I mean? So the problem is the virus. The solution, obviously, we're beyond containment, so it's now mitigation. But how that mitigation is being rolled out, and you can see the fight between the members of the deep state, and that includes that garden gnome, Anthony Fauci, you know, the little garden gnome that's, right? Fauci. Talk about the deep state. And I'll tell you something else. Somebody who's really doing a lot of great work on the internet. Amazing Polly. Did I get that right? Yeah, I think I did. Let me check. Amazing Polly. I'm sure I did. She's got a litany of YouTubes out, videos out, and she's done a lot of great work. I had previously, a long time ago, extended an invitation to her to appear on our show. I didn't get a response back, but she does amazing work. I would urge you to take a look at her investigative research projects that she's done. But we're doing our own as well. So on the basis of what you saw Henry Lee testify to, and again, now he's with the forensic lab up in Connecticut. And again, I've had the pleasure and opportunity to sit, in his class and, you know, speak with him and take the courses that he's taught and a long time ago, but he was right on the money with that statement. You cannot, you know, what you can't see, you can't really interpret. And I'm not talking about because we can't see the virus actually, you know, at least to the human eye. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actions behind the virus and because of the virus, if you know what I'm referring to. The cures or the steps to eliminate this or to mitigate it, to me, is almost equivalent to saying, oh, you got cancer? All right, let's radiate the hell out of you. Let's give you so much chemotherapy that basically we render you, you know, a zombie, and you die anyway. Is the cure effective? Oh, I'm sure it'll kill the cancer. Kill the host, too. Kill the patient. This is the approach I see. If you think traditional medical science, there are answers to things. This is what I see taking place today. Let's go to the first website. I can't remember, Eric. I don't have the, I'm still out of my element here. I'm still trying to get used to this. Bill Gates. Actually, the program clock is, I got it. That's right. I got the actual copies here. Should take a look at this. Again, thank you. I'll just call her Elizabeth. That's all. Thank you, Elizabeth. Bill Gates will use microchip implants to fight coronavirus. Bill Gates will use microchip implants to fight coronavirus. Gee whiz. Microsoft co-founder, who stepped down recently from Microsoft, will launch human implantable capsules that have digital certificates which can show who has been tested for the coronavirus and who has been vaccinated against it. This is like a twofer. Oh, how great is this? First of all, a forced vaccination. And second of all, the chip. Oh, man, you can't get any better than this. And by the way, doesn't he look good at 64? He's just a couple years older than I am. Maybe I'll look like that when I'm his age in a couple of years. I don't know. But the second person, currently the second richest person in the world, this, by the way, is from March 19th of this year, Biohack Info News. That's Biohack Info News. That's the source of this. Gates revealed this during this Reddit Ask Me Anything session. Gates was responding to a question on how businesses will be able to operate while maintaining social distancing and said that eventually we will have some digital certificates to show who has recovered or has been tested recently or when we have a vaccine who has received it. In other words, the biochip, the chip, the chip, the chip. And if you don't comply with the chip, what happens? Or if you don't comply with the vaccine, because we got to get back to work, right? We do. President Trump has stated so eloquently, I'm going to get back by Easter. And again, I would urge you to go back and listen to what Alex Jones said yesterday, too. Alex Jones had a clip of President Trump, and you can find this on Fox News, saying, this country was not made to stand still. We were not made to cower in our homes because of this biological threat. Now, again, this is not to understate the problem with the virus. And I've got so much more to say on this, but just to kind of encapsulate it. yes, we have a problem. But the cure offered by the deep state is equivalent to killing the patient. Oh, but wait, Bill Gates has got it. It's right here. He's got it. You saw it on your screen. And, you know, sitting next to his dog, which I'd like to have a moment with the dog. God bless that dog. Lady of the studio dog laying right here. I'm going to have to call her Lady of the office dog. I mean, I love the dog. Don't like the whatever that is sitting next to the dog, but I love the dog. Anyway, Quantum Dot Tattoos. The link will be in the program description box. I won't go through this, but you can see where this is headed. I hope you can see where this is all headed, can't you? So this is, in my view, not the mark of the beast, all right? No, no. But this is, in my view, the conditioning people for the mark of the beast, as well as conditioning people to bow to the tyrannical medical martial law. And as Paul Cottrell said, the Biopatriot Act. Remember, America is not going to be the same after this. Except and unless President Donald Trump, who I do believe, he's made some bad decisions of late, including the NDAA, which, by the way, Steve Quayle and his guest who's coming on, which I'm not going to identify yet or right now, this program. Just watch HagmanReport.com. I believe we'll be talking about some of the consequences of this. But here's the thing, really. What is taking place right now is the left, and we saw this, by the way, with the stimulus bill or the economic bill that was being bounced around between the House and Senate, and House, Senate. Feinstein and Pelosi and Schumer and McConnell, and you get the idea, right? Not a fan. Not a fan. And, oh, you think, by the way, you think that sending $1,200, $1,400, $1,500 to every American, you think that's, I mean, is that a good idea? It's better than sending it to the banks, right? I get that. It's better than the 08 bailout. But is that the right thing to do anyway? I don't know. I could use the money. Just not that way. But when you take a look at the entire mosaic that's forming, and really, you know, and I know I'm short on time here, but think about the attempts, the coup attempts against President Trump. Russia. The FISA abuse. The physical and electronic surveillance of Trump as a individual, and then as a candidate, and then as a president. The NSA overreach, the FBI overreach, the CIA, Brennan CIA, overreach. I know you know who I'm talking about. I was speaking with a CIA officer, not an agent, officer. That's another thing that people, I got to tell you, well, he's a CIA agent. Well, are there CIA agents? How about CIA officers? That's what they are. They're not agents. They're officers. FBI has agents. CIA has officers. You want to know if somebody's talking out there, you know, butt? Just saying. Anyway, But think about the lead up. President Trump came in. He used his own money, his own cash for his election. He got elected when everyone said he's not going to get elected. Ann Coulter said he was. Everyone else said, nah, he's not going to get elected. All right. Did everyone else hear that or just me? So it's like I'm having a conversation with myself and people don't know that, right? I love it. Hey Todd, how you doing? Well, you can't talk. You can't say fine. I'm kidding, of course. Satellite provider. All right. Okay. My guest, Dr. Proctor, is ready. But before I get to him, I just want to wrap my thought up here. You may think, you could have said that in 2 minutes. No, look, when we talk about this, the magnitude of this, when you really consider the magnitude at what we are seeing, folks understand that there is some soak time that's necessary. I'm telling you, having testified in front of juries and watching their faces when they're looking at complex evidence or scenes from complex crime scenes, and you could tell on their faces when they finally get it. Sometimes you spend 30 minutes talking about something and then maybe at minute 31, then you can see kind of like, oh, the light goes on. The light bulb goes on. It's like, oh, now I get it. Then you could say, I rest my case and there it is. I'm done testifying or whatever it is. But see, we are not looking at this big enough. And I said yesterday, think bigger. And that's where I'm saying, think bigger. So hang on a second here. Again, I'm just referring to this lady as Elizabeth. Dr. Fauci, work with Dr. Gallo on the HIV, doing work on HIV, which, by the way, is a component, a delivery system component of the coronavirus. Who owned the patent for the HIV? Gates stepped down. Bill Gates stepped down February 13th from Microsoft, is working with biotech on ID 2020. Can you put ID 2020 up there real quick? And I know, hang on, Dr. Proctor. Thank you for your time. I want you to check this out too. ID 2020 Alliance launches digital ID program with government of Bangladesh and announces new partners at annual summit. What's the date on that, folks? What is the date? September 19th, 2019. Now, if you can scroll down, Eric, on that, there's a picture, I think. Is this the one? Nope, I guess it's not. Maybe it was the other one. There's a picture. It's interesting. The ID 2020 branding of things. But Gates was in a pandemic movie on Netflix. You might recall Gates owns the patent for COVID-19, which, look, don't take that too far afield. That happens. But he also allegedly owns the patent for the, in quotation marks, cure. And where does that come from? That comes from additional research. So the circle is complete. So you've got a guy, Gates, Bill Gates, who was part of Microsoft, the big tech, the technological aspect of things. Where would a microchip come from? That very environment, Silicon Valley, those companies, that's where this would come from. So it just makes sense that all of this combined, it's combined that let's just all keep this in under the big tent, the big circus tent. The virus, the alleged cure for the virus, and then letting people know, which, by the way, the alleged cure, the vaccine, which will not be optional. And that vaccine will carry this quantum tattoo ID. People will be able to tell. Did he get vaccinated? Oh, if he didn't, then you know what? He can't be out in public. He can't work here. Maybe he'll have to be quarantined. We're seeing it being not only set up, but enthusiastically embraced by otherwise patriotic people in the United States. Why? Because of fear and lack of knowledge. Where does the lack of knowledge come in? Well, you can see an army invading your shores, getting out of boats on the eastern shore, western shore of the United States. It's a little bit more difficult to see a virus that lurks, right? Can't take a baseball bat after it. You can against the host, which may be the intent. So go back to thinking. Go back to what Dr. Henry C. Lee said. Go back to that. That's exactly right. You can't interpret what you can't see. So what we've been missing is intentional. Did I make sense? Did that make sense to you? This is a way to take down the United States. In my opinion, this is the only way the United States and people within the United States can be taken down and for us to be completely subjugated by the jackbooted, tyrannical deep state. And President Trump, I believe, knows this. And if you think in that respect, I truly believe you'll be able to see why he's saying what he's saying, why he's saying, look, you got to get back to work. Our country was not made for this. And by the way, this is not our first rodeo, but our enemy wants you to think it is. All right. Oh, I'm so happy to bring on every Wednesday Dr. Richard Proctor, Provis Institute. Have you gotten his books? I mean, have you done it? Please, now is the time with your kids. You're holding your kids hostage, right? I'm telling you this. I am telling you. In fact, I talked to my son-in-law, Josh. I said, look, you're homeschooling them now. I wrote it out. Here is the course curriculum. And here is the book that you need to have. One for each child. Saving the Constitution. Go to ProvisInstitute.com. I'm sorry, ProvisInstitute.com and purchase your book while you have a captive audience. Do it today. Do it today. All of his books, Dr. Proctor's books, are so incredibly valuable, and especially right now. I cannot think of a better time. And you say, I can hear it. Yeah, I can see people typing right now saying, you know, would you just shut up? And because you're always pushing books. Yeah, because that's where knowledge comes from sometimes. If you can't get the actual author, then get his book. You know, I know Dr. Proctor, he's a great guy, but I don't think he's got the time to stop at everyone's house and teach their children. That'd be great if he did. So get the books while you have the audience, while you can do it. And do it today. Go to ProvisInstitute.com. And I don't get paid for saying this. Do I, Doctor? You pay me?
I'm here to help you know more about it in addition.
Okay, good. Yeah. So anyway, having said that, let's talk. How you been? How you been, brother?
I've been good. It's been a good week. I got to explain why it's been a good week, but I want to back up just a little bit to your Bill Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation and all the stuff you were talking about that he has control over and patents on. We also, and I don't know if you've mentioned this before or not, we also must remember that Bill Gates is a part now of the international banking establishment, the instant, the deep state stuff, all of that. He's a part of those people. And his goal is population control.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's where his goal is. So that means get rid of 95% of the planet, of the population of the planet. That's the goal. They got to use everything they can do to control population. And you think back at how many things we do today that prevent children. HIV, homosexuality, abortion, Gardasil.
Yeah.
Now the new one is going to also do that. We just don't know. Is also going to get rid of people who are already here rather than just waiting to get rid of them, the babies. This will get rid of people that are already here.
And
destroy our economy as it goes by.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. How does this... Well, thank you for mentioning that about Bill Gates. And, you know, sometimes I just assume people know this. I just assume people know that, you know, he's for depopulation and such. But thank you, because a lot of people don't. And thank you for mentioning that. But, Dr. Proctor, I'm looking at I'm looking at a city who is, there was an executive or an order by our governor that essentially shuts down all businesses except those that are absolutely essential and quarantines people in their home. Now I'm taking that with, I'm using broad strokes in that, but first of all, how long can that last? Secondly, is that even constitutional? And I know I know that there's state constitutions and then there's, but is that constitutionally on a federal, is that constitutional on a federal level? Are our rights being violated? I mean, where does this stop? Or where does it start? What do we do? Help us.
Yeah, well, you just mentioned the federal and state constitutions. Most of the state constitutions mimic the federal constitution. And all of the officers and executive people of the states have to swear allegiance and oath an allegiance to the federal constitution. So it's all intermingled.
Okay.
But is it fair to put people in prison without due process of law? Did I say that? Put people in prison without due process of law is not in accordance with our culture.
And when you say without due process of law, I just want to be clear, if you don't mind. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that you have been convicted without any opportunity for defense.
All right. So in other words, just getting picked up off the street, tossed in a cell, and say, we'll get to you.
That's not due process, exactly.
All right.
And people who do that, people who do stop people on the street and throw them in jail, can also lose those people. They're gone forever. It's possible. It happens all the time in many countries.
Yeah.
People walking down the street and they find themselves in jail and nobody knows they're there and nobody knows where they are and they just keep them.
Wow. You know, and it's,
we're in.
It's happening here in the United States of America, I believe. That's my
point. We are in a police state. We are in a police state. The absolute goal here is complete control of us. We must rally together. Did you see the email that I sent back to you this morning?
I have not had a chance to check on that.
Okay. Can I just read a little bit what I wrote?
Oh, please do.
Today, I would like to concentrate, use a significant amount of time, on the theme, we must rise up at the grassroots level and demand that we not lose our rights during this event. We could rally around the call, Save the Constitution, and use the book Saving the Constitution as the symbol. Teenagers could use the call, Let's Keep the Constitution, and use the book A Constitution If You Can Keep It as the symbol. These are ready-made symbols, are available as needed in any numbers. Now, that's my thought.
All right.
We need to have something to rally around. People say, yeah, we got to do something, but what? Let's rally around an idea, a thought, saving the Constitution, keeping the Constitution. What Constitution? The one of 1787.
Okay.
Not the one that's been changed and goofed around with. The one of 1787. We must rally around something. I can, what in my mind's eye, I see people marching, standing, holding books, holding the book. The book cover's very appealing. It grabs people's attention. Holding that, and actually maybe some of them might read what's in it, but holding that thing up and say, we need to keep the Constitution. And this becomes a rallying call. We've got to do something or we're going to lose our rights. The government is amassed and they're going to do it to us. The stage is set. The stage is set. We're united we stand, divided we fall. Well, we're being divided. We're being incarcerated in our homes. They don't call it that. They call it quarantine, but they're sending, California's sending drones. They're going to throw you in jail if you don't stay there.
Yes.
So that's jail. I mean, folks, this is what's happening. That's where we are. We are being incarcerated in our homes and being called guilty, even though we haven't done anything. And that way, we're kept of the way. Now, think for a minute, economically. Everybody's in their home. Who's working? Who's making products? Who's making any money? So we can go to the grocery store and buy stuff if we want to, but what will be there? Nobody's manufacturing anything. Nobody can ship anything. Nobody can do anything. So what are you going to buy? And with what money? You know, we've already used our credit cards to the hilt. Now we're going to go in and buy with what? Because we're not working. We're not earning.
Dr. Proctor, I got good news for you. The government is sending us money. Did you?
Oh, good.
Did you hear that?
I did. Let me see.
I'm excited
because you know what that will do? Let me see. The government now no one's mentioned this, I think, but here's a thought. The government sends $1,500 to every family in the United States. Boy, that's a lot of money, isn't it? The inflation is tied to the amount of money available. Let me give you an illustration of what that means. You go to an auction. Okay, let's all go to an auction today. And then the auctioneer stands up and says, I got some things to sell, but you can only buy with the money you have. No credit, no checks, no credit cards, nothing. If you've got cash in your pocket, that's all you can use. Well, you see something you want, and you've got $40 in your pocket. And so the auctioneer puts it up, starts it up at $5, and you bid $5 and $10, and they keep the other people bid. You get up to $40, that's your last bid. Somebody else, $50, $55, $60, and it's out of your reach, and you really would like to have that. Then you notice the guy in the back of the room that's going around talking to people and slipping them something. So you get in, you see, and you, he's coming in, and he gives you another $500. So now you have $500. You can go back to work and bid for that again. And it's up to 100 now. So you keep bidding and bidding and it gets up to 500. And then lo and behold, it goes to 550 and you can't do it, but you want it. You look around for the guy and there he is. So you go get another 500. Now do you see what's happening here? That man is passing out money and the price is inflating. And that's how inflation works. So if you send $1,500 out to every American household, look at the money that will be there, and we call it hyperinflation. And Germany had that in the early 1920s. People with barrels of money, and they'd steal the barrel to throw the money away and steal the barrel. I mean, barrels of money. I've got stamps that are billions of marks to mail a first-class stamp in Germany. That's what's called hyperinflation. And when the government sends out that kind of money to everybody, everybody now can go hot-footed down to everywhere they want, buy anything they want. But all the stores, they won't have the things that they need now, that much money. So prices will go up. And that's called inflation. Inflation isn't the rising of prices. Inflation is the raising of the printing of money. If people say inflation is caused by prices, that's like saying wet streets cause rain. Wet streets cause rain. No, that's not true. Rain causes wet streets. Inflation is caused by money. Lots and lots and lots of money. So, guys, there's another piece of this situation that folks don't realize. Sure, I've got a $1,500. My little $1,500 won't matter. But I know a whole community here in Kaysville for about 40,000. They all have $1,500. How much money are we talking about here? Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Inflation, hyperinflation destroys economies. Nobody working destroys economies. Nobody has money destroys economies. being everybody being incarcerated in their homes destroys economies, as well as keeps them under wraps and keeps them divided. We are ready, guys. We're being pushed into it. That's why we need a rallying call. We need to do it. I was David Knight and I were talking about this yesterday, and he pointed out that there's people in France, no matter what's going on, yellow shirts are out in France regularly marching for freedoms and their rights in their country. Why aren't we doing something? And here's a way to do it around something that's very important. The Constitution of 1787 is vastly important, and we're not giving it its importance and its due. But there's a way to do it. You can march and hold up that thing, and everybody will know what you're talking about. And please read a little in the pages so you'll know what you're talking about. But anyway, the whole goal is here is to get our country going, save our rights, and get back to work. And we'll not do that as long as the government doesn't feel pinched.
They've got to feel pinched. Indeed, they do. And you make a great statement, by the way. We need that rallying cry, or we need the, and your book provides that. And I want to thank you for that. And folks, we're talking about saving the Constitution. And please use, go to provisinstitute.com and purchase his books. Including
no shipping charge, never a shipping charge.
And that blew my mind, because I know how much you paid to ship the books you sent me. And I'll tell you what, that's not a cheap date. So take advantage of this while you still can. While there's still deliveries, I'm telling you, go to provisinstitute.com, because the information, the knowledge that you will receive and be able to pass along to your children. I was thinking the other day, Dr. Proctor, I believe at some point, this is just my belief, I believe at some point the powers, the leadership, the elected servants are going to outlaw the Bible one day. I believe that to be the case here in America.
Oh, it's very likely. Yes,
okay.
It is.
And the second thing they're going to do is ban, outlaw books like yours, because
they've already done that. I can't get my books in the schools. They've already done that.
Okay, so now we have a perfect opportunity. The schools are in the house, which is not a bad thing if done properly. Homeschooling is not bad. However, they need the curriculum, the information, and your book provides just that. So this is a perfect opportunity. Everyone, listen to me. This is a perfect opportunity. And this is not a sales pitch, but it's a pitch for knowledge, for true, accurate historical information, but information that will also give you, the parents, the ability to go out and say, you know what, this is not right. And look at this. This is the Constitution, and you, who we elected, are violating it. I didn't mean to go off there, but you know.
No, but that's exactly what we need to do. We've got a grassroots thing has to go. If we don't do that, they'll think we're acquiescing. And we don't want to acquiesce. We want to show our desire, not violence, please, not that. Just our desire in mass to have our rights back. Because right now we're in jail.
Exactly. And you know, you said not violence, please. I 100% agree with you on that. Not violence. Failing this, I believe, will result in violence.
Oh yes, it will. They'll have guns. They'll come and get us.
And
the vaccines, they'll go around to the vaccines and force you to. I can see a nurse and two SWAT guys showing up at your door. You haven't taken this vaccine. Here it is. Take it now or else.
But you know, doctor, okay, now, the original Constitution, or the Constitution of the United States, I'm sure in some way, shape, or form, the question will be asked, well, look, if a vaccine will in fact protect not just you, but your neighbor, your townspeople, you know, the milkman who delivers your milk on horseback, you know, horse and carriage or whatever, you know, then why are you refusing it? Why, you know, we should force you to take it. Explain how that would be bad.
Bad part of that is force. Okay, that's the bad word. But let's take the days of polio. You and I were around the days of polio.
Yep.
Oh, you were around, weren't you? You're old enough, right?
Oh,
around the days of polio.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so here we are in the days of polio. kids were getting it. They were being put in iron lungs. My sister got it. Not a real bad case, but she got it. Anyway, then Salk came up with this vaccine, and people voluntarily went to get it because it was proven effective. Today, they're wandering around with a vaccine that nobody knows what's in it. Nobody knows it. Everybody's being forced to it. The force is the key. If it is good, we'll get it because we'll want it. But it's got to be shown that it's good first. So far, these things are just poisonous.
Okay.
Folks, more people die from vaccines today than ought to because they're not properly vetted, so to speak.
And there it is. It's the force. It's the force of something that's really not tested. It's not tested properly. We don't know what's in it. Some time ago, I had a conversation with my doctor about the flu vaccine. I said, show me the pamphlet. Well, why? I mean, because I want to see what's in it. Well, we get them in batches. But the fact is, you're exactly right. We don't know what the hell we're being given. And certainly, I don't believe it's clean. And you tie that up with Bill Gates, as you mentioned, the depopulation. Because believe me, I don't believe the deep state wants people like you and me, but especially you around with your vast knowledge. You're a freedom weapon. You're a weapon for freedom. You're a weapon for the Constitution, the country, the way it should be. So, man, you are a threat to the deep state.
Oh, I know. I'm walking out of the target behind my, but I'm not stopping. Neither did George Washington. Now, I don't equate myself to him, but he didn't stop. And neither did all the other patriots that were in the Revolutionary War and the Battle of Trenton and all the hardships those men went through. They had targets on their back. The British were trying to kill them all. But here we sit. We've got to do something.
Yes, I absolutely 100% believe that we've got to do something. And what you said about the rallying cry around the Constitution, your book, I mean, Saving the Constitution, we need to do that. But how would you recommend? I mean, given all of the, given the current environment where we find ourselves, how do we do that? They've taken our rights away to do that, haven't they? Or not?
Well, let me put it this way. This is what could happen. I don't say I'm envisioning it. This is what could happen. I've seen these kinds of things occur. A core in a community. I don't know what community, a core, just two or three people. They gather others around them and begin to say, we've got to fight this. We've got to do something. And here's a book. We can hold this up. We can go up and down the streets and hold this up. I can send them by the case to places. And if I do, I'll even lessen the price. I'll send them by the case to places. And then they can take those and distribute them. And as a group, not individually, because individually the priest can pick you up easy. But as a group, nonviolent, as a group, you go around like that saying, hey, we need to save the Constitution. We've got to get our rights back. We're being incarcerated in our homes without due process of law. And all those kinds of things, you see. And they can't. You can't doubt that that's what's going on. And if people would just amass to do that kind of stuff, I mean, guys, we've got all the ammunition we need, all the documentation we need, all the law we need to do what I'm talking about completely legally.
You know,
peaceful gatherings?
That's right.
Yeah.
And we, you know, I always say, or I often say, that we can win on the numbers. We've got the people.
Yes.
We've got the base conservatives, the constitutional conservatives. That's even a better word. Constitutional conservatives or the Christian constitutional conservatives. We've got enough people like that, where we can win by showing up. I believe we can win by just showing up, but being armed, not with weapons, but with, again, the Constitution, saving the Constitution, and educating each other or fellow men out there and women. We can win. We can prevail. We can stop what's coming, I believe, or what they intend or what they're planning on. Because I think what they're planning on, Doctor, is our ultimately our eradication. End of story.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, there's only going to be a few million people left on the earth. And I know that I won't be one of them because they're going to make sure I'm not. And anybody who's really visual, they're not going to allow them to stay. But we've got to do something nonetheless. We must do something. And sitting around talking about it and complaining doesn't do anything.
That's right.
I mean, it doesn't do anything. Everybody can jaw all they want on the seat, but unless they get out and do something in mass, peaceful assembly, that's guaranteed by the Article 1, I mean Section, First Amendment, thank you. Anyway, it's guaranteed by the First Amendment, peaceful assembly, you can do it, it's all legal.
It's all legal as long as what we spend or we engage in social distancing, we have to be 6 feet away from someone else.
Well, isn't that kind of an incarceration also?
It's ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I understand.
Yeah, ridiculous, yeah. It is, but if they arrest you because you're within 2 feet of somebody, that's incarceration, distance incarceration.
There it is. Yes, you're exactly right. I mean, I don't know. If I was a deep state, bad guy, I don't know if I could have done any better than what they're doing right now.
Oh, yeah. that's right. I mean, this is magic for them. This is magic. I was just reading a little bit in an article by Vieira. He was talking about it wasn't by Vieira. I was reading something else. But anyway, he was talking about the number of CEOs that have abandoned their jobs, abandoned their place, resigned, taken their money and run. 1,000,
yes.
Almost 1,500 now have left their glory jobs, their wealth jobs, and they've sold their stock. Now, that's the kind of stuff that happened in 1926, 7, 8, and the beginning of 29. And you guys know what happened at the end of 29. The stock market crashed completely. That did not cause the depression, but it caused an awfully lot of pain for everybody. And people lost everything they had in the stock market. They lost and lost and lost. And these guys are selling their shares. That's why the stock market's going down, because those people are selling billions of dollars. Selling shares caused markets to collapse.
Okay, to be clear, why are they stepping down? And I know the answer to this, but there are things going on out there that I'm watching take place, and I'm seeing postings, I'm seeing social networking, people saying this, you know why they're doing this. I can tell you why they're doing this. Forget all that. Dr. Proctor, why are the CEOs resigning en masse and taking their little golden parachutes or big golden parachutes with them? Why again? Tell me again why.
Why? Well, actually, it's all economic. It's all back to money. It's all economic. They know, because they're a part of the inside, these people, all these people are a part of the inside group. It's not a small group. They know that they knew that this was coming. They knew. Did you notice that sentence? Knew. That's in the
a
long time ago, they knew what was going to happen. They knew this was going to happen because they're a part of the cause. Bill Gates is a part of the cause, and his family and all the people like him and all the wealthy people like him know those are going to happen. A little history here. Bernard Baruch. Now, nobody remembers Bernard Baruch. He was in the 19-teens, okay? He made an awful lot of money because he wound up in charge of all the armaments for World War I for the United States. A lot of that money that went through his hands stuck to his fingers. So he invested in the market. Now, Bernard Baruch, there's a cartoon about him, a guy sitting on a couch, on a park bench, and Bernard Baruch is driving by in front of him on a limousine. And the caption is, "There, but for me, go I." In other words, I could do that too. But really, what the caption should have said is, "There's the guy who planned this." Because, you see, he sold all his shares and all his stock in February, March, and April of 29.
Exactly.
Because he knew what was going to happen.
By the way, some of us, if I can blow my own horn here, park bench statesman. Bernard Baruch. I think he was known as the Park Bench Statesman. I remember learning about him and reading about him. He often visited Lafayette Park in D.C., New York Central Park, and they would he would discuss political affairs and such while sitting on the park bench. Hence the name Park Bench Statesman.
Okay, good, good. You know, so, everybody looks up to that kind of a person.
Right, exactly.
In the background, he was a part of the crash of 29, and how many people lost their lives over that because they jumped out of buildings and lost all that they had and everything, lost their farms, lost their crash of 29. And do you know what Bernard Baruch did with all the money as he sold it in February and April and before? He put it all in cash in the safety deposit box. And then when the market collapsed, he went back in and bought things that he knew would be good companies in the future. And he then owned all of that.
What a stand-up guy.
That's the sequence.
So we're seeing this happen. We're seeing people step down, CEOs step down, cashing out, grabbing things. So just, folks, look at Bernard Baruch as an example of what could be, and obviously appears to be yet ahead, which I believe, I find it very interesting what President Trump said. You know, we need to get back to work. We need to get this country back to work. We need to be going by, I think he said something like by Easter or whatever, but he understands, President Trump understands that this country was not made to be non-working, non-functional as we are right now.
No, it's not made. It can't survive this way.
Do you think that this, and I know this calls for speculation, but do you think that this was at least in part an attack on President Trump and his policies and
Well, obviously that's a byproduct of it. But that would just be secondary to their purpose of getting all of us under their thumb.
Got it. Which makes
obviously
sense.
Obviously, it's a secondary position. It will weaken him in the election when it comes up. If everybody believes that he couldn't stop this, it will weaken him. And that's one of their goals. And then who gets elected? Somebody like Hillary Clinton, who wants us in jail, wherever, who wants us in concentration camps, who wants us to be slaves. Those are the kind of people that will take over.
Why?
We've got to fight hard to keep Trump in office. We've got to keep him in office or we will be saddled with concentration camps like you've never seen before in our country. FEMA camps are out there. They've been built. They're ready.
Yep. Boy, and they're multi-purpose too. You know, one day they could be a hospital, legitimate. Day two, it could be, you know, our involuntary quarantine.
They weren't built for nothing. They weren't built and put together just to stand around as monuments. No, sorry, man. Bob. FEMA camps have a purpose.
Have you seen anything such a dry tinder out there today than ever before? Have you seen anything like this before in your lifetime?
No, I have not. No. I started in 41. And I've never seen anything like this. I didn't see the Depression, and I didn't see the crash of 29, but I did see the inflation of the 1970s and what happened to us then, and that's continuing. I did see that, and I understand why that happened, too, but that's a long story, so let's not do that. But I understand why those problems in the 1970s happened.
Yeah.
I saw October, that crash. I was in a place where I was selling stock, small pieces of stock. I was selling a little bit of stock to people. I mean, I was a broker. I was selling kinds of stuff like that, and I watched that crash on that Monday in October. I saw that happening. I seen these things occur. But in each case, we recovered and could recover. But we're not trying to recover today. This is the worst of all of those added together because of the incarceration. How many people are incarcerated? I know in their homes right now. This last weekend on Sunday, it was 70 million.
70 American, million Americans.
America, it's 25% of the country was incarcerated one way or another in their homes. And that was just New York, California, and Illinois. And now, look what's there. It's 21 states now, or that was yesterday morning, 21 states, and people are incarcerated. Pennsylvania's on the list. How are you guys being treated in Pennsylvania?
Well, the governor just signed an imprisonment edict. That's what I called it. I think it was last night or this morning.
There you go. That's another state above the 21.
Yep.
See, this is happening. We are being incarcerated, and they'll throw us into a FEMA camp if we don't go along with them and cooperate. We must stop it before it stops us. And it could stop us by next Wednesday, a week from today. We could be talking a whole different thing about this.
In either direction.
Either direction.
And that's the volatility of what we're seeing. And I think the volatility is being understated. Now, the hype of this invisible enemy, as Donald Trump calls it, the virus, there's obvious hype there by the media. Okay, that aside,
mm-hmm.
and just pushing aside the danger from the virus just momentarily, just talking about the what's happening right now, I think President Trump is trying to, man, I would not want to be him. I mean, there's a delicate balancing act that, you know, he's got to go through. But, can he, as commander, or as, well, if we're in a war, commander in chief, as president of the United States, is there anything that he can do under the Constitution where he could fix this? Or must this be fixed at the state and local levels? Or how does that even work?
Well, now, President Trump uses Twitter a lot, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
What if he were to say the same things that I just said about a symbol and rallying around something to save our rights?
Now, that would be interesting.
What, could he not do something like that?
Of course he could.
And that wouldn't be government intrusion, would it? Completely constitutional.
Right.
No question.
Yeah, actually, it wouldn't be. Yes, yes.
Completely constitutional. If he set out the clarion call to everybody to do that kind of a thing, completely constitutional. And it would begin to stop it.
Very interesting. I think maybe that's what he not only needs to do, but perhaps will be doing. I suspect that I don't think he's going to tolerate the destruction, not even, and we're not talking about decimation, but the destruction of our economy and hence our country, not, let alone the freedoms that we have. But I don't think he's going to tolerate the destruction of our economy very well. He's a business guy. He knows. He knows
yeah,
we can't
knows.
Survive.
By the way, that's happened already in our country, that very thing.
When?
The president that gave the clarion call was Franklin Delano Roosevelt in his fireside chats over the radio on Sundays.
Oh, that's true. Which, okay, so
it's the same thing.
It's kind of like an old-fashioned Twitter.
And it's, yes.
Well,
yes, that's right.
Where it's not
everybody,
limited.
Everybody got their radio out and listened to the fireside chats, and he encouraged them to keep going through this time of the Depression. Then the Federal Reserve went ahead and killed some more money and put it all back again in the 37.
Right.
But the point I'm making is the president can do that within his power, and it is not unconstitutional. He doesn't have to worry about any criticism of the Constitution at all.
Hmm. I find it interesting to watch, Doctor. By the way, folks, if you're just tuning in, Dr. Richard Proctor is my guest every Wednesday. He's part of the program. He's not a guest. He's like part of the family. Hey, pull up a chair, you know? His website is provisinstitute.com. It'll be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. One of the best books you can get right now is Saving the Constitution. In fact, there's a curriculum for homeschooling use Dr. Proctor's constitutional books or books about the Constitution, to teach your children. You will not find anything more comprehensive or more accurate than that. Dr. Richard Proctor, again, my guest. I find it interesting, as I was saying, the people that sometimes stand behind President Trump, seem to be they're antagonistic against him. I have a, like that Fauci guy, I got a bad feeling about him. Some of the things that he says are not consistent with what President Trump, what he's trying to convey. So, I mean, I sense a lot of animosity and fighting back and forth behind the scenes on this. Seems like dueling agendas, at least in my view.
He's lucky. I don't want to use the word lucky. We elected him because he gave us a clarion call to have something better than where we were headed. And he's done the best he can. People are criticizing him because he didn't do more. But, folks, he couldn't do more because the deep state and all the people around them that are the conspiracy that used to be called conspiracy theorists. I was called a conspiracy theorist. Oh, yes, you're a theorist. That doesn't work. It's not anymore a theory. It's not a theory. It's conspiracy fact. They've done it, and they're doing it in the White House and in the Justice Department, in the FBI. They have shown that there are conspirators against us. They are amassing to destroy our country, and they've come right out of the woodwork. They're not hiding any longer. It's there to be seen.
Indeed.
And that's Trump's problem.
Indeed.
They are keeping him muzzled. They're keeping him stopped.
I was given actually your email, and I want to thank you for that. I just want to highlight what you said. And folks, Dr. Proctor, I had sent him an email earlier. He responded back and said, he said, let's concentrate if we can, using a significant amount of time on the theme that we must rise up at the grassroots level. And isn't that, I mean, we've been talking about that, and demand that we not lose our rights during this event. And man, I'll tell you something. I have never seen, like Dr. Proctor had said, I've never seen Christian conservatives fold like a cheap tent, in the manner that they're doing now.
Right.
And saying, okay, you know, my rights, my health, they've been convinced that this event will kill them. If they don't acquiesce to this quarantine, well, they'll be dead. You know, I mean.
Well, you're right. But I'm going to go back to the Revolutionary War. Those men knew that the British will kill them. And they knew the British were well armed and well trained. They knew the Hessians, the German guys were well trained. Yet they still did what they did. They put their lives on the line for us. I don't think it's the same at all. I'll be absolutely blunt. I don't believe this thing is as contagious as they say it is. I don't believe this thing is killing as many people as they want us to believe it's killing. I believe people are diagnosed because they have a fever or they have high blood pressure or something like that. They feel bad. They go to the hospital. They get drugs that cause the disease and kills them. And then they say the disease killed them. No, it didn't. They went to the hospital. That's what killed them. That's what's happened in Italy. That's, 99% of those people who died in Italy, at least the survey they took, 99% of that survey of the people who died from other causes, but were blamed on this virus. They died from other causes because the medicines they gave them killed them. They had heart conditions, and the medicines aggravated their heart condition, and they died.
Yep, yep.
And that's why. I don't believe it's as bad as they say it is.
And you know, to force, and this is kind of an extension of that thought, at least the way I believe it to be. So if they say, okay, you've got to take this vaccine, well, okay, yeah, not a good idea, especially if it's got this quantum data or quantum stuff, whatever, that leaves this indelible and visible tattoo that I spoke about.
ID 2020?
Exactly. Yeah. So yes, you're precisely right. So, and what, and folks, what Dr. Proctor had suggested, and I believe this to be about the only way to do this, is to use, for example, use saving the Constitution, the rally cry, save the Constitution, because this is at the heart what we're dealing with. Save the Constitution. Use the book Saving the Constitution as the symbol. It's a very graphically I don't want to say pleasant, but certainly relevant.
Striking.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll be working on my words today, numbers tomorrow. but you know, as you said, teenagers could call, could use the call, let's keep the Constitution and use the book of Constitution if you can keep it as a symbol. And these are ready made. It's ready made. So we need to rally behind this call. Dr. Proctor, I think you were meant for this very day. I really do. I don't know how else to describe it, because we've got to do something.
You know, Doug, if we think back to what happened, I've been doing an awful lot. I did the other writings that I did, the other 8 books.
Mm-hmm.
But I had this desire to write the Constitution as it was written, you know, to explain it as it was written in 1787. I had this firm compulsion, you might say. And I wrote it, and I had a compulsion. I can't stop. I'm here writing. I can't stop. I'm here writing. And then I said, I've got to get this out to the kids, too. So we changed it around a little bit, and we put it out for the kids. We've got to write this. I've got to write this. Then we've made a few changes to the book since it came out. But typos, we fixed. Things like that, we fixed. We've added some stuff. But the core of the book has not changed. The core of the book had this compulsion. As soon as it was published, the compulsion went away. Now the compulsion was, go out and tell people about it and get it in the hands of people. I don't have a compulsion to write at all anymore, not one bit. Now, it's let's get this out. So it absolutely could be, I'm a Christian soul, it actually could be that I was inspired to do this for this time, at this time.
I believe that's
no, I didn't say. I didn't say that's absolute. I just said there's indicative indications. There are indications that it could have been.
Well, you know, the one thing I believe is that each one of us, we've got a specific mission to do in our lives. I think God's given us a task, or maybe multiple tasks. And, you know, until that's done, I think that, you know, God's going to keep us on the earth until we do what we're supposed to do. And me just looking at how all of this came together, how you had been on with InfoWars with David Knight, and then Kevin alerting me to your product, your books, that is, your knowledge, your interviews, and then how you came on this program at the time you did, and we see what the time is right now. I mean, I really believe this is divinely inspired. Look, I'm nobody in the scheme of things, but I'll say this. I believe that I've got a job to do, and maybe my job is just to introduce your Saving the Constitution to the people out there who can and will go out and make that a rallying cry. Like you had said in your email, written in your email, that's got to be the rallying cry. And you know what? We can't just talk about it. We got to do it.
You know, Doug, let's think on that. This morning, I got up thinking, and I lay awake in the mornings just pondering, and that idea came to me that we should have a rallying cry and we should use these symbols. And so I thought about that, and then I wrote you that, why don't we do this? And then, well, look what we are doing. I believe in these things. We do these things because our mind tells us to, but why does our mind tell us to?
Because in my,
yeah,
okay, yep. The Holy Spirit, you were Holy Spirit led. If at night or in the morning, if you're on your knees, or metaphorically or physically or practically praying to God for guidance, you're going to get guidance. That's the Holy Spirit saying, you know what, you got to do this. And you know that nagging feeling you get, folks, you know what I'm talking about, that nagging feeling that, oh, I've got to do this, and you know, you push to do it. Well, listen to, cops say, listen to your gut, right? Christians say, listen to that little voice, which is the Holy Spirit, I believe. And yeah. You know, look, I'm a Christian. I'm just a Christian. I know what I believe.
Well, that's not just the word isn't just. I am a Christian, not just. Thank
okay.
you.
I'm a Christian. Thank you very much for that correction. Yeah, Steve Quayle corrects me all the time on but the fact is, I'm not a minister. I'm not a preacher. I don't know my Bible as I should, but I know what I do know. And what I do know is when that little voice, which I believe is the Holy Spirit, is telling me to do something, I better do it. Or if alternatively don't do it, I better not do it. So I think going back to the reality of the situation as it is with you, with me, with the world, with the United States specifically today is, you know what? We need a rallying cry, and you've provided this one through the saving the Constitution, and we need to save the Constitution. Use the book as the symbol and go out there. I mean, what better way? What better way to do this? Somebody's got a question here. Read this. You know, knucklehead and hit him on the head with it. But I get this. I get this because what's the alternative? What's the alternative? We're cooked. If we sit in our homes and watch everything around us burn down, Doctor.
Yes. That's what's anticipated. That's what they want. That's what the adversary wants.
What do you see? Look, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but what do you see happening next?
We choose, but if we don't, if we just choose to sit in our homes, I see the next thing to occur, we will wind up being a socialist country where we have no freedoms and nothing we can choose. We'll just be a socialist country. And if you want to know what socialist countries are like, recently we can look at Venezuela. You can look at that recently. Right now, we've had a touch of what it's like to go into the store, and there's nothing there that you want to buy. We've had a touch of that. I go into the stores. I wander around. I look what's happening. I buy a couple of things, but I'm really going there to see what's happening. Well, I ask the guy, I says, where's the flour? And he says, well, you know, we haven't had any for 2 weeks. Now, that's a terrible line. We haven't had any flour for 2 weeks. That's a harbinger of stuff. And we're headed that direction, not because it couldn't be manufactured, but because a socialist country can't organize themselves to do it. The invisible hand works. The socialist government hand doesn't. Okay, so there you have where we're headed. If this continues and we as a people don't do something about it. If the Revolutionary War guys hadn't done what they did about it, we would not be sitting here on the phone doing this. We would be in a kingdom like anything in Europe. We wouldn't have these benefits, and we never would have. All these things would be gone, would never have occurred, would never have happened. All the benefits that we've developed through free exercise of our own wills and ideas, without the free exercise of our own wills and our own ideas, none of this that we live in today would ever have occurred. We would be slaves. They call them serfs. In the ages of dark ages in Europe, they call them serfs.
And even worse, we would be calling windshields, windscreens, and trunks bonnets, or engine hoods bonnets. I'm kidding, of course. A little levity never hurts. But yes, you're exactly right.
That can't be the choice. We have a road. We have roads we can choose. If we as a people choose to do nothing, then what I just said is probable, our probable future. If we choose to get out of a little bit as groups and do something, that choice could be the difference. Now, how many people were in the Revolutionary War?
They say 3%. Yeah.
3%. The other 97% stayed home. That shows you how few it takes to do the job. Now, when I say we the people get out and do something, I mean those who feel inspired to do it. I don't mean everybody. I mean those who want to do it. And if 3-5% of the people who get out to do the job, guys, we will get it done. But the other 95, they'll just sit there and take advantage of it. Well, that's their choice. They don't. We all reap what we do. If we don't do anything, we won't reap anything. Those who just wait for us to do something, we'll get some benefits, but they won't get the benefits they should get if they would participate. There's a difference. I believe there's a difference in the next life. Those kinds of differences will show in the next world, the next life. Mm. We need to be those who are out and about doing something. And if we can get 3 to 5% of the nation doing something, this will begin to halt in place.
Part of that 3 to 5%, or whatever the percentage is, 3 to 5%, let's just say, part of that. Would you consider, like, small business owner, who says, look, I've got to run my business or I'll be DOA.
Yes, he would be part of it. Yes.
All right.
Everybody who resists what's happening will be a part of that. And the more that resists, the quicker it will be over.
I agree with that.
By the way, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going around doing things, like I said, going to the stores, going places. I'm not sitting at home here, cowering. I'm going around. I think there could be somebody with it, but I'm not. I'm going anyway. Somebody wants to shake my hand, I'm gonna. A guy reached over to hug me the other day, and I did.
Right.
I'm a part of the resistance.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I look at all of the facts, and I put the word facts in quotation marks because some people's facts are different than other people's facts, apparently, even at the scientific level about this.
Yes.
You know, so, okay. I'm thinking, they've given us two choices. You either stay home or you die. I mean, it the most severe sense, that is. And how dare you? You go out and not only are you risking your own life, but you could be a super spreader. And my goodness, if you're, then you could be killing other people. Now, look, I understand that there is some truth to that. I mean, think about the flu. Okay. I mean, this is not the flu, but think about the flu. I get the idea there, but when have we as a country ever just stopped because of a biological threat of a kind of a dubious nature at the moment or a dubious,
very dubious. And it's very, the actual disease, there is a disease. Let's not sure. kid ourselves. There right. is a disease and it is serious. Okay. There is. But the amount of spreading, the amount of people who've got it, the amount that really do have it, is really small compared with what they're saying have it. The
right.
tests, how do they know? Let's take for a minute. Let's just take this as an example. Let's go back to Italy. Now, Italy is what everybody's calling up. Oh, look what happened in Italy. Okay. Now, in Italy, they say that they have this many people that are positive. How do they know? Where did they get the tests? Where did they get all the stuff that make that says they could make that? If we haven't get it, how are they going to get it in Italy? We can't do it here. We don't know. We don't have the test. Our CDC doesn't have the stuff to pass out to do the testing. Why? How did they get it in Italy then? They just guessed. They know that fever and high blood pressure are symptoms. Therefore, anybody with those gets sent to the hospital.
Right.
Old people get sent to the hospital. Young people get sent to the hospital. The young people, they've got a good immune system. The old people are already suffering. And they give them medicine that exasperates their suffering, and they die. Then they say, the virus did it. And it's 99% of the cases in that study, it did not do it. The medicines they were given did it.
Exactly.
And they may not have even had it to begin with.
Which is true. And my stories on that are anecdotal, just from people I've talked to who have been in situations. In fact, my stepson was exposed to, let's see, how does this work? My stepson was exposed to somebody who had the virus and was hospitalized because of the virus. But they didn't do the how was it? They didn't do the test on the individual hospitalized, but yet they warned my stepson that he was exposed to the virus without verifying that he was exposed to the virus. You know what I'm saying? So none of this makes any flipping sense. It's like...
No, it doesn't.
And by the way, in response to that, when my stepson said, well, then I need to be tested, they said, no, you don't. Well, okay.
See, and that's the response. Now what is he to choose to do? Well, I better go self-quarantine myself. We have a fellow in my neighborhood who self-quarantined himself because he was at the hospital where some people had it. So they told him, the doctors told him he had to self-quarantine, and he did. I'm not saying he shouldn't have, but the doctors didn't have any right to tell him that he had it.
Exactly. And by the way, my stepson right now is at work with...
Good for him.
And he runs a huge logistics company. All right. And he said, you know, I'm fine. I don't feel bad. Now, he's keeping his children at home and his wife at home, but he's out there working. So, and one might say, well, by keeping them at home and then you being out, you coming home, then you can infect them. And you know this, but the bottom line is this, he's not saying, I'm going to stop life and, you know, watch Netflix for the next however many days. And this is what we need to do. You're right.
We've just got to live our lives.
Yeah.
And this is very bad to say this, but I think it might. Everybody's going to die sometime.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. And I'm serious. I would rather, I'd rather die fighting, okay, than live sitting watching Netflix or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that's right. I too.
And I'd rather, seriously, I'd rather die fighting than die in a bed. I want to do something. And, and speaking of doing something, folks, do something, please. Go to provisinstitute.com. That's provisinstitute.com. It's going to be in the program description box. And purchase Dr. Richard Proctor's books, including and especially Saving the Constitution. Please do that and make sure you don't just buy one. Buy as many as you can and give it to your children, obviously, your children. But give it to neighbors, friends, coworkers, people who will read it, though, not use it as a doorstop. Again, Saving the Constitution by Richard Proctor. There it is on your screen, provisinstitute.com. And it's one of the, seriously, it's one of the best books I have purchased and read. And I really thank him for his work product. And oh my goodness, are my grandchildren going to be educated on the Constitution by Dr. Proctor. And that's just great. So, but yeah, we've got to do something at this point. And, I don't know. Dr. Proctor, you've got a lot of experience. A lot. You've seen a lot in your years. I've seen a lot, I think, you know, not as much as you have, but that's just because of years. You get a couple on me, but we're not that different in terms of generational differences.
Good. That means we're on the same page.
Yeah, we are. And I'm looking at this. And yesterday I just asked, I said, what are we missing? And I think you've really summed it up nicely. What we're missing is this tyrannical takeover by the deep state. I mean, we're not missing anything. We're just not acknowledging what's happening. And
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Complacent. We are complacent. What's happening today will happen tomorrow. Don't worry about it. We're all okay. Yeah. Yeah, there's no problem. No problem. Everything will continue as it is. No sweat. And then the ball hits us.
Yes. Yes. Now, one of the questions I had that, in fact, this represents multiple, and by multiple, I don't know, maybe 14, 15 people had sent emails to me over the last 36 hours. And their question was, I'm going to summarize and paraphrase. Their question was this, same question asked differently. We're hearing that we might have elections by mail during the general election of this year, 2020. I think Drudge had a headline recently about that. What say you about this? Is that constitutional? And
yes, it is constitutional.
Okay.
It is. It's not contrary to the Constitution. But you see, that's not the fear. I don't fear having the mail. I fear all the fraud. Because they can't check registration. They can't check anything. And they mail it out. And I mean, I vote by mail all the time.
Wait a second. Eric the Tech just reminded me. Thank you, Eric. I apologize for that. An electronic, I'm sorry, it wasn't mail, by mail, it was by electronic means. In other words, using the
internet. Oh, no, that's terrible.
That's what.
That's electronic is terrible.
Yeah, that's why Eric gets paid the big bucks for correcting me. Okay, so yeah, we can't, I mean, so that's not constitutional.
They change the votes. Paper is the best. Always paper. They change the votes. We think, oh, the computer's perfect. Oh, it's perfect. Hey, it's hacked all the time.
Right.
I know it's hacked. How do I know it's hacked? Because I watched the statistics of 1 in 16. And a lot of places had 110, 120% of registered voters voting.
Right.
A lot of places had votes that they pulled down the lever, and by Jove, it voted for the other guy. Did you know that all of these machines are being made in Spain? Or they were in the past.
Yep.
They were made in Spain?
Yep, and I forget the name of the company. But yes.
Yeah, I do too, but I remember that's made in Spain, and when they were made, that was made by people who will want to be able to control the election.
Sure.
And we all glummed onto that. Oh, we got to do that. We got to do that. And then we started saying that they should all have paper votes. And somebody, oh, that's unconstitutional. You can't do that. You can't do that. Oh, no, no. You guys, boy, you think voter fraud? Oh, we never did that in the United States. You know, we have terrible, terrible voter fraud. They found millions and millions of votes in some of these states that were fraudulent.
Right.
Millions. We're almost the same. Oh, some people say we're going to go supervise the third world elections. No, let's stay here and supervise our own. We're not doing any better than they are.
Yeah, and in some cases, much worse. And you know what? It's almost as if they're not trying to hide it anymore.
No, they're not. And it's astounding to me that Trump was elected. It was during the era that I'm talking about when he was up for election. Right. And he was still elected. And somebody says, well, he didn't get the majority of the votes. He got 3,000 counties out of 3,200 or some number like that. I call that the majority. 3,000 counties out of only about 3,300?
I mean, come on. Yeah, but he didn't get the popular votes.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, the popular vote came out of those cities like Washington, like New York City and Los Angeles and other things like that. That's where they came. Actually, the Constitution Party put together a document that showed that 317 counties controlled the election of the president. Controlled it through... Well, would have if they, you know, those were the Hillary Clinton counties.
Okay.
So. Let me put it a different way. If we were to go into this thing where everybody, the state votes, and many states have said they've passed laws that we go with the popular election, no matter what it is, all our electorals go to the popular election. If that occurs, then those counties will control the election. And the rest of us could stay home because those counties will have the population necessary to put it over like that.
Right.
Just those counties.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, is the reason why we are a representative republic using an electoral college, which everyone, or not everyone, which the left wants to get rid of. Am I right?
Yes. That's exactly right. That's why we're a republic. And we don't stand up and say, we pledge allegiance to the flag of the democracy of the United States. We are not a democracy. We're a republic.
Right.
And everybody knows what the Pledge of Allegiance says. They forget that it says democracy. I mean, it says republic, not democracy. Everybody wants to have a popular vote. That's democracy. That's, you know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. That's like two wolves and a sheep trying to decide what's for dinner.
Right.
Minorities always lose in a democracy. Always. Whatever the minority is, it always loses in a democracy.
Indeed it does. Wow.
So we want to get rid of the only thing that keeps us alive as a free nation doing what we're doing? Oh, my. Those guys, they were inspired when they wrote those things.
Yes.
We threw the Electoral College out in 1800. I mean, we haven't used it since 1800. The last time the president was elected properly was 1796.
Okay, you're talking about electing the president and vice president, which I find this fascinating, by the way. I don't know, you call me weird, but I think it's fascinating. So this goes to party as well. We were never supposed to have party domination in voting, right?
Never.
Okay.
That's right, never.
All right.
It was the parties that took over in 1800, and that's when the parties became the Electoral College. Everybody says the Electoral College meets and we have our – no. The Electoral College are the political parties. The Democrats and the Republicans are the Electoral College now. They decide who we get to vote for. We don't. I mean, we don't ever get to, we've never decided who we get to vote for since Woodrow Wilson.
But
we have never had someone there that they didn't vet. Oh, until Donald Trump.
Okay. And you know, you said that last time. By the way, that was one of the greatest segments, I believe. How you framed that last week, until Donald Trump. And people, and I've been telling people to listen to that portion of the program last week that you're saying, you know, I'll just say it to you. Tell me again. Tell us again, if you don't mind. And I'm being serious about it. About how Donald Trump and you know, how he, bypass CFR, Council of Foreign Relations, and all that. And how he just.
Yeah. Here we've got a Let's equate two people. Let's equate Ron Paul and Donald Trump. Okay. Let's just equate those two.
Right.
Ron Paul's a very fine person. Okay. Very fine person, and he had lots of people going with him, but he wasn't vetted by the CFR, and that's why they wouldn't let him in debates and all kinds of stuff. Well, Trump came in and he said, "I'm going to run. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of these fake birth certificates. I'm tired of all this stuff. I'm going to run." And everybody got top of him. Everybody beat him to death. Why? Because the CFR didn't say he could. The CFR didn't say he could. And since they didn't say it, every magazine, every newspaper, everybody lambasted Trump constantly. And we finally had an election where we could vote for somebody that was not selected by the national parties rather than us. The national parties took over that job in 1800.
Yep.
We've never had that party that back again. But for positive, since Wilson, every president has been chosen by a group of people sitting in a committee room deciding who we get to vote for, and they don't care which one of them gets elected. They chose them both. They don't care which one. They don't care. I mean, Bush Jr. and John Kerry were both members of the of one time, not the same time, but both members of Skull and Bones of Yale University.
Yep.
And so that just tells you they were both chosen by the CFR. They didn't care who we voted for. They both did what they wanted done. Different ways, but they both did it.
We haven't chosen
a president until Trump.
And
nobody's listening.
Right.
Let's see. In his 20s, the people that are over 100 right now can say, I remember when maybe one wasn't. But anybody that's, well, I guess it was 12, so they got to be 110. Nobody in the listening audience has ever voted for a president that they got the opportunity to select.
And there it is. I really want to put that on a loop, and, you know, play it at my bedtime. I'm serious. And that's why we are living in extraordinary times. And folks, Dr. Proctor has given us tools to go out and continue the fight for our freedoms. And you and I, we can change history by merely showing up, but Dr. Proctor's made it easier for us. And look at him. He's doing it as well. So my suggestion is we better start to get busy, because we're what? Just a couple of hundred days away from the general election. And, go ahead.
If it goes to electronic, we're in deep trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to see that. I didn't save that screenshot. Somebody had sent me a screenshot about that. Apparently the Drudge Report had something about the electronic, voting. You know, could this year, we strictly vote electronically because of the continued threat and all this. But anyway, you get the idea. So you're right. That's a bad idea. Heck, I would prefer purple fingers. Remember Iraq purple fingers over that any day.
Now here's an interesting thought though. Remember this. This is very, very important to all of us, not just us Christian people, but all of us. The Lord Jesus Christ is in charge of what's going to happen. And if they go electronically, Trump will still be elected if the Lord wants him there. If he's not elected in a situation like that, then he's just saying to us, you're going to get what you deserve.
Wow. You're right. I've often said, God's got this. I believe that. But you know what? Maybe God doesn't want us to have this or that, because what have we done to earn it? What have we done to prove our worth you're right.
Yep. Maybe he's going to say, okay, guys, you got to suffer. You've earned what you've got. You got to suffer for it. He could say, I'm done trying to save you guys. You're going to live with what you earned. Now, if Trump is elected, then Lord's still got his hand in it, and he still wants Trump there, and he still wants him to do what he's supposed to do, whatever it is. But if he's not, then the Lord has said, okay, we're finished with you guys. Have a good day. Oh, there's just so many things we have to think of from a religious Christian viewpoint. We've got to realize all the parts of it, not just a little bit of it, all the parts. I believe that he was elected because the Lord wanted him there, no matter what in the political parties wanted.
Yes, I do as well.
Yeah, and if he's elected again, and I'm sure going to vote for him and encourage everybody I know to vote for him, he's been the savior of our country for the last 3 years. I sure like to see him do one and then four more.
Yes, I would as well. Now, you know, Dr. Proctor, I had somebody say, well, you know, he just signed the NDAA into law, which limits our freedoms even more continuously. You know, and I look at this and I'm thinking, yes. And anytime someone says yes, but anything that comes after that is, you know, the real reason. But anyway,
hasn't been everything I thought he did either.
Yeah, I know. But what's the alternative, you know, at this point?
Yes, exactly. What would we have? Oh, well, we shouldn't have voted for Trump. Look what he's done. Well, if we didn't, what would we have had then?
Right, exactly. And there's always, in my view, there's always the chance that maybe his advisors, maybe he'll get better advice, or maybe he won't do it. Or, you know, it's possible he could reverse things that have been done. But I do know that, I think God in this case, well, God's always in control, but I think that, how would I put that? You know, I think sometimes God, nudges people one way or the other, you know.
Well, if we look back now, I know the time's almost done, but here, let's look at another illustration. Jerusalem, those people were not living the law of Moses. They were not doing what they were supposed to do. Here comes Babylon, takes them away. They suffered because they weren't. That was a punishment. Now they've been in Babylon for 70 years. Here comes this emperor. I never can remember his name. He took over Babylon, and he said, let's let the Jews go back to Jerusalem. I'm going to do that. Not only did he let them go back, he sent soldiers to help them. Now, what kind of a person was it? He was a murdering fiend. I mean, he murdered people all the time. He was a conquering dude.
Right.
But the Lord used him to take the Jews back to Jerusalem to build it up again, and he did it and helped them.
Uh-huh.
See, there's an illustration. He uses the tools he's got. Let's not be too critical of the tools that the Lord chooses.
I don't think I could have said that better. In the remaining few minutes we have left, Dr. Proctor, is there any, I mean, I'll just turn it over to you. Your thoughts, your, and I love your call to action. And I'm going to make sure I put that as part of the description, because we have to have a call to action. But the few minutes we have left, whatever is on your mind, well, almost, it depends. If you had a family, a fight with the family, you know, but whatever's on your mind,
okay. I'm going to go beyond my family. They're first in my mind all the time, okay? But my thoughts are that you're asking for, to sum up, we are at a crossroads in our country. We're at a crossroads. If we choose to go one route, we will continue our freedoms. If we choose to go the other route, we will not. We are at a crossroads. And we doesn't mean the entire country. It just means enough of us. And every one adds one more to it. So if one guy does it and another guy does it, that's just two. I know, but then there's a third. But if the first guy says, well, I'm just one, I can't, then nobody will.
Right.
And everybody acts that way. We're done. We're at a crossroads. We must choose freedom or we won't have it.
And that's a conscious decision that we all must make. And, you know, individually we must make that, but collectively we must lift each other up and practice, because.
And that's why I think a symbol and a clarion call is important. You've got to have something to rally around. Nobody rallies around nothing at all. You've got to have a standard.
Amen.
You've got to have something.
And the symbol saving the Constitution, folks. I can't think of a better symbol. You hold that book up, you purchase it, pass it along, read it, by the way, pass it to your children, make sure they read it, but use that as the symbol for actually saving the Constitution and saving
the country. Now we need Donald Trump to make that same sentence.
Yeah.
We have a better chance if he will.
And you know what? Maybe we can get this to him somehow. I know that, you know, David Knight and Alex Jones and that team, they've got some pretty high level contacts. And I know that we've got some, good contacts as well. Maybe together, if we work together, and that's the thing, working together to get that, sentence.
Well, I should be on the David Knight show this Friday again. That's my day.
That's right.
Sometimes things come up and maybe I should be there, and I will again stress this subject of saving the Constitution, symbol, a clarion call. I will stress it there too.
And you know what? We will promote that as well here on the Hagmann Report. David Knight, you and David Knight. David, by the way, what a gracious guy. I met him in Branson, Missouri. We spent some time together, and you know, he's good at what he does, and he's certainly.
Yes, he does a really good job, and I really like to be associated with him.
Yeah.
And I've been there now. On June the 4th, I've been going a year, every other week for a year.
Really?
Yes, on June the 4th. We're not too far away from that.
Yeah.
Every other week for a year.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, he gets the best like you. He gets the best like you. And I appreciate him for that. Well, when you're on with him Friday, I haven't talked to him in a long time, so tell him I said hello, and we'll promote your appearance with him. How's that?
Thank you. That would be very good. And he'll appreciate that, too, yes.
All right.
He wants, yes.
All right. We are
thank
out
you
of
very time. Much for your time. This has been a good hour and a half. Excellent.
Amen. And thank you for your understanding. I was off the Monday, and things happened. And
Not to worry. I understand. It's your show. I do what you want.
Well, again, Dr. Richard Proctor, thank you so very much. God bless you. You stay safe out there and have a great day. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, folks, that was Dr. Richard Proctor, provisinstitute.com. It'll be in the program description box. And I'm going to tell you something. You really need to read the book. Buy the book. Share the book. Saving the Constitution. And if you're really good, you can get all the books and then, oh my goodness, it's great. Thank you. I want to thank each and every one of you. May God bless. Until tomorrow, Steve Quayle tomorrow, along with a mystery guest. Have a good night.